A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Prisoner Podcast. We are on DEFCON 5, full red alert. They are arresting January 6 attorneys and election integrity attorneys. I've got one of my great friends on the line with me right now. Patrick Byrne is here to break down the scenario with what happened to attorney Stephanie Lambert, that she was accosted and arrested yesterday in Washington, D.C. by the U.S. Marshals. Patrick, my brother, God bless you. How are you doing today?
Good, Jake. How are you doing there, sir?
Well, it's a shockwave, I think, for me and the whole January 6th community. I talked to my other attorneys late last night. They were appalled. They think that this is a new level of unrestricted political warfare that they're waging. And, you know, I guess they have no dignity. There's no line of dishonor that these people are not willing to cross.
Well, I wouldn't say it sounds like you're pointing the finger at the D.C. judge. My understanding, so I'm sort of new. First of all, I've been overseas. I just got back yesterday. I'm on my way overseas again today. So I'm a bit catching it myself. The D.C. judge is not the problem, so to speak. The D.C. judge is acting on a bench warrant from Michigan. Now, the bench warrant from Michigan is the total political act by the goons up in Michigan. Stephanie has been the field marshal across my legal efforts, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia. She's a silent warrior. While the rest of the people in our fight go out, other lawyers and go out and make a lot of noise, she's been the silent force. She's a former 14-year prosecutor from Detroit, and she has been working for, let me back up a second. On November 3rd, 2020, after the election was over, the Secretary of State of Michigan illegally sent orders.
Patrick, we lost you there. Illegally sent orders.
Illegally said, erase all your electronic media with the election, thumb drives, hard drives, etc. A number of people in Michigan who worked in the elections recognized that that was illegal. And they refused, and they got in touch with their local sheriffs. They got in touch with their local town, town reporters, got this order. And they knew it was a flagrantly illegal instruction, unlawful instruction. And they, and instead of doing as directed, they started their own investigations. And it turns out that in Michigan, town clerks have all the authority to investigate things themselves. Sheriffs, of course, county sheriffs are the frontline defense on election fraud by federal, state, and common law. They are, so they started, I think, four Michigan sheriffs and a couple of town clerks hired Stephanie, this former prosecutor. So she's been working for government officials. And
she went through the proper channels.
Say again?
She went through the proper channels. She went to the sheriffs.
They went to her. They engaged her. She got in the middle of all this. And, you know, her researchers and all leads to the Attorney General. The Attorney General and the Secretary of State rigged the 2020 election. And the research leads there. And for the last 9 months, the Attorney General of Michigan has been trying to jail her and jail the sheriffs. They threatened to indict the sheriffs, the town clerks, her, and her expert witnesses who worked on these computers, who got the images and such. Well, you know, lawyers been hiring expert witnesses for years. Why would you? Anyway, they did indict her, and they avoided indicting the sheriffs. First, she went to and defended the sheriffs in court and said, this attorney general is trying to take over this case. That's illegal. The courts upheld it, so the sheriffs kept the case. Now, the attorney general, they've been behind some kind of subpoena from this wonderful sheriff, Dar Leaf, has been subpoenaed to turn over his entire case file. And unbeknownst to them, this other thing, and so, I mean, they're really going after, they're at the point that, you know, that the coup's last stage is just to try to jail the regime enemies. And, I mean, that's what it's done to you for 3 years, but that's what it's doing to Stephanie. And she has the goods. We really have the goods on her. And you just have to look. There's going to be, so, anyway, bouncing around. That's Stephanie, but then should I get into the proximate cause of events that landed her in jail. It's not really D.C., it's Michigan.
Yes, I'd like you to go through the chronological order that has landed her in the D.C. gulag as America's newest political prisoner. I believe one of the catalysts too, Patrick, you just literally connected me with Stephanie last week. I engaged her to become the attorney on the January 6th class action lawsuit. She was, you know, all ready to rock and roll, already talking to many of the victims. Many of our plaintiffs, over 76 January 6ers, are on that lawsuit. She was in. And I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back in this scenario. You become a Jan 6 attorney, plus you're fighting election integrity. The deep state can't have that. They had to put her in leg irons.
Yeah. Well, it's the Michigan part of the deep state. I'll walk you through just what happened. So we have the goods in Michigan. It's all over. It's all over, but the bleeding in Michigan. We have, by the way, we have it. I'm going to make this prefatory comment. We actually have it all. You know that last Thursday, Kurt Olson filed a case in the Supreme Court, an appeal regarding Kerry Lake and election equipment in 2024. It's been rejected in lower federal courts. And he's introducing new evidence, to which the other side says, oh, you can't appeal and introduce new evidence. That violates federal procedures. But it turns out you can on one circumstance. When the lower courts held that your claims, Kerry Lake, are too speculative about what's going on with Meade's machines, when that's been the decision of the lower court, you can appeal and say, actually, it's no longer speculation. We now have the facts. And we actually do have all the facts. And so the appeal was filed Thursday. And what's getting filed today is a motion for expedited hearing. And it's getting filed to the Supreme Court saying we need it heard before June 1st because we have the proof of what happened. We have all the proof of what happened in multiple states in 2020. It's getting filed. By the time you play this podcast, it's going to be in the Supreme Court. So that's why. So we have them. And in Michigan, all roads lead to it's collapsing on the Secretary of State and the Attorney General. They actually hired this. The Attorney General went to 40 lawyers in her own office. Not one of them would file charges against Stephanie. She had to go to a lawyer who was in on a cover-up and bring him in as a special counsel. And got him to file as a special counsel, file these cases against Stephanie. So that's one set of things going on. And Stephanie, there was actually just a mix-up a week ago. I was talking to Stephanie one day. She was supposed to make a court appearance in Michigan. And she told me at one point, like at noon, that it had been delayed. And the attorney representing her in this criminal matter, they literally indicted her for taking an image of, you know, for conducting an investigation that the town clerk, the sheriff, asked her to conduct, and taking an image of a hard drive and some thumb drives. So they've indicted her for that. So it's against the law. She got all these arguments. Her lawyer told her that he thought she wasn't supposed to appear, had thought it'd been delayed, and she was supposed to appear at 3 o'clock, like two Thursdays ago to court. And then she got an ambiguous letter, discussion with her own lawyer. She thought it was off. She didn't go. And the judge was absolutely going along with his plan to railroad her right there, I guess, issued a bench warrant. So that's – but the case is ridiculous. The underlying case, which the warrant is issued, and the judge knows that the judge is one of them. The judge is absolutely letting things go. They can't even articulate what law she broke. They cannot even articulate the law, and it's ridiculous because these sheriffs hired her and the town clerk hired her to run an investigation. They had all the right in the world to do that. So anyway, that's what the underlying bench warrant's about. Now, what she was doing in D.C. was making her first appearance in my Dominion case. Dominion has sued me in D.C. I think that Dominion is going to be in leg irons before that ever sees a court, frankly, but I...
arrest Eric Coomer.
Yeah.
Hashtag arrest Eric Coomer.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be answered. You're going to see, it's going to make you sick when you hear. So, but that case recently, so I've had one attorney. He's a wonderful attorney. He's a D.C. attorney who's been representing me against the FCC and for years, on and off, anything that happens, he represents me for the government. This case I wanted him to handle the defensive side of the case as it all got started. But once we really got into discovery, my understanding all along was I wanted this to be handled very aggressively. And it's not just a matter of defense anymore. And she answers, we agreed to move the case to her because it's moved out of sort of the defensive case and to the hands of somebody who's got to be really going for the jugular and who knows this industry now and all the evidence inside out. So that's where it stands. She made her first court appearance in D.C. yesterday. Now, and then there's one more background thing you have to know. And this should be played, the judge in that Dominion D.C. case, I understand, is made some noise by asking me to come into court and explain what happened. And I'll do it here. I'll come back under oath. I was supposed to leave the country. I flew back from South America last night. Yesterday morning. I'm leaving again today. I will cut my trip short, Your Honor, and come back to the courtroom at your demand and tell you exactly what happened, but it's going to match what I'm saying here. So shall I proceed with this last part, Jake?
Yes, please do. We want to know what your responses are going to look like to the judge when you show up there and battle on behalf of our attorney, Stephanie, here.
Well, this is what happened last week. So Stephanie takes over the case just 2 weeks ago. She starts going through discovery, and she calls me after 3 or 4 days, her and her team, and they say, this is outrageous. There's clear evidence of criminal activity. I've got to turn this in to law enforcement. Got to turn this into law enforcement. I've got legal duties. I've got ethical duties. And, Patrick, if I don't get, yeah, so there was a very restrictive agreement between me and Dominion about we were going to turn over all this stuff in discovery to each other, and we all agreed to keep it secret. Now, I don't know why we agreed to such a restrictive agreement, because I have nothing to hide. All they're going to find in discovery for me is that, I wrote a cyber security guy and said, hey, come down and have a cheeseburger. There's nothing I have to worry about. But Dominion has a lot to worry about, I think. Well, but it was a restrictive agreement that my lawyer agreed to. But then it got moved to Stephanie. She went through it, and she found evidence of crimes. She said, Patrick, if I found a severed head in this box from Dominion, it doesn't matter what the NDA says with Dominion. I have a duty to report that to law enforcement. And what we have here is worse than a severed head, because that's just the case of a past crime. There's evidence here that clearly goes to ongoing criminal activity. And I have a duty to go report this to law enforcement. And I said, is there a mechanism for you to go back to the court in D.C. and clear it through the judge first? She said that if we do that, it can take like 8 months. The other side can fight it. It can take 8 months, this and that. She said, well, wait 8 months. And she had a duty to take it to law enforcement. And I said, well, I'm going to stop you then. And so she exercised what she felt was her legal duty. Now, I haven't even read it. I haven't even logged on to the Dominion stuff, even when the other lawyer was handling it, nor have I with Stephanie. But what she did was she took the stuff to a Michigan sheriff, Darlene, and the Michigan sheriff filed it out. Now, meanwhile, my understanding is the Attorney General of Michigan is still trying to get this case away from Darlene and sent him a subpoena demanding his criminal case file. And he wrote a subpoena. He wrote an objection, said, I'm not going to give you my criminal case file. I'm investigating an ongoing criminal activity. It's not just this county in Michigan. It's all in Michigan, and it's national. And I have 58 pages of, for example, here's 58 pages of discovery that's been provided me by Stephanie Lambert. And I understand those 58 pages are dynamite. It's funny. Everybody thinks I'm behind it. I've been reading it now. It got filed. And so he filed this affidavit, and this all is public. And all these newspaper articles started a week ago about what's in the discovery. And what's evidently in the discovery is the from Dominion. Remember the famous Antrim, Michigan event? November 3rd, 2020, it was one of the big scandals. Remember?
Yep.
It was a very red county that woke up November 4th and discovered they voted Biden. There's a Trump flag in every lawn. And then they went down and complained, and a couple days later, the clerk said, yes, there's been a mistake, and I hit something with my elbow, and I flipped 6,000 votes by accident. Now I flipped them back, and these are the real numbers. I think there were four different versions of the real numbers by November 23rd. Well, it turns out in that period, well, what has been reported in the Gateway Pundit and other, and Sheriff Darleaf released those emails that Stephanie gave him. And what has been reported is those emails show Dominion was in communication with its office in Serbia about which they are really quite bummed that they even have an office in Serbia that they call their R&D office, but wouldn't even acknowledge it. And they were sending those guys instructions to get on the Antrim computers and do something with results between the election and the certification. We're having Serbian nationals logging on to the system, which we're also told isn't doable, but we now know for a fact it's doable. I know just how to do it. I can show a judge. I'm going to come in next week, Your Honor, and I'll show you. I'll hack these little systems right in front of you. We know just how to do it. Anyway, somebody from Serbia went in and did this. And there's emails to that. There's no emails. Do you remember there's a professor in Michigan who's been covering for the other side named Halderman? Jake?
Yes, yes.
There's a professor named Halderman. Evidently, there's emails that are quite incriminating about where he's basically knowingly, what has been described to me, is that he's like knowingly helping them cover it up. And he gave some tips, but the emails show he's helping them create a cover story and sell it.
So what a wicked web.
And then I heard, I just heard this yesterday, that Darleaf released thousands of pages more on his Twitter account, and Twitter has taken it down. Why don't you look up Sheriff Darleaf's Twitter account and see if it's still active?
I'll have my team do that. I'm sure they're running for cover right now because this story is erupting in people's hearts. They're seeing, I guess, this is one of those emotional points where it's like, even like I said yesterday, I talked to my other attorneys, and they were starting to be scared for their own future in representing January 6ers election integrity cases. So these people that are committing these atrocious acts of, you know, just tyrannical oppression, they're going to start running for cover. If he hasn't deleted the Twitter account yet, I'm sure he will soon.
No, the sheriff has posted the evidence in his Twitter account. I hear it's being blocked or something. But now, all that said, so Stephanie goes into the court yesterday regarding Dominion, and the judge there has two beefs or two issues. One is that he's presiding over a case where this was all supposed to be sealed up, and Stephanie, within a few days of getting a hold of it, took it to law enforcement. So he's mad about that. Looking at that, you know, one can understand where he's coming from. Although, now Stephanie has an answer to that, and I'm sure she gave him the answer, that this is not just finding a severed head. This is finding evidence that heads are being severed. I had to go to law enforcement, and I couldn't wait. I don't know. I don't know how the judge feels about that. But the judge also had to deal with the fact that there's a bench warrant for her arrest in Michigan. So he had, my understanding is what happened was at the end of the meeting, he cleared the courtroom. When everyone else walked out, he asked her to stay. And as soon as she stayed, some federal marshals shut the doors, locked them, and arrested her. So there's that. But they can't stop the evidence. The evidence is out. You want to go on. So am I? So now I've just told you what really happened, and I think that she's having a hearing today at 1:30, 45 minutes from now, and then is going to be sent on a bus to Kansas and then Michigan on the bench warrant. But the case in Michigan is not even well formed. I mean, this is real Stalinist shit going on up in Michigan. I'm not saying that about the D.C. judge. The D.C. judge, what I've heard is, he's played everything straight. And it is within my ken that a straight shooting judge might still have been yesterday said, I don't know how upset he was about the stuff being leaked. My guess is he was. I don't know how he felt about Stephanie's explanation of her duty to the bar and the courts and the ethics. But in addition, he had a bench warrant, and that's really what she got snagged on. So I'm not sure that people should be focused more on Michigan than they are on the D.C. judge, because I'm not sure he's...
Yeah, he's just acting under compulsion to follow out the, I mean,
the solidarity orders of the Michigan, election destroyers.
So that's what really happened. No, I did not, was not orchestrating this. No, Your Honor, I haven't even read this stuff. I haven't even read it since Darleaf revealed it. To me, I'm over the horizon. I'm up on the front lines battling. You guys, everyone back here is reading, arguing over news reports of what happened a long time ago. I'm on the front line engaged in hand-to-hand combat. So I know what it says already. I don't even need to, I already know that they have an office in Serbia with their great collections. That's just one of the ways it's done. I can give a disquisition on this, Your Honor. Allow me in your courtroom. I'd love it. Now, I can save everybody. Bring me in for half an hour, sir, in camera. I'll go, what is it called? In camera, what is it called? Per se. And I'll have to bring one guy in. We can show a judge now in 7 minutes a video that will, we're even afraid to put it online, it will just blow people's minds. But we can show hacking these machines tracelessly. They've been set up so they can be hacked tracelessly, just so you know. They've been set up so they can be hacked tracelessly.
The entire, I think the volcano is ready to erupt here. We're super appreciative, Patrick, everything you're doing for the J6 community, for this country, fighting for our elections here. It's a very sad day, but it's an eye-opening day. We're praying for Attorney Stephanie at her arraignment, and God forbid, I've been through the transport by the feds to get around the country, being flown on Conair, in the back of cold buses with hard seats and 3-point shackled. I pray Stephanie has the wherewithal and God just puts his grace on her to get through this trying time. And, this is a rallying cry for all the Americans out there listening to Patrick and I today. First they came for the Jan Sixers, then they came for the attorneys, right? And now they're coming for you. You don't stand up and get involved, this entire political persecution may just end up at your doorstep one day, and God forbid that, but it's true.
It certainly is. It's on your doorstep now. It's happening. This is, they just legalized the next step of the plan clicked into place yesterday. Some federal judge in Chicago legalized illegals owning weapons. Now, there's direct federal statute against that. A federal judge is just over. So for now, these 12 million new military age men who came in the last 3 years bought themselves weapons. That's the amount it was. This was, and that Obama in his last year in office, bought like a trillion rounds of ammunition and several million AR-15s or M4s that he scattered around the country, 2,000 federal agencies. So every federal agency has been turned into a little armory. Everyone wondered at the time, why the hell does the Department of Agriculture need, 60,000 AR-15s? Well, now we know. It's the depository for the army, the invading army that they knew they'd be set, inviting in.
This is modern day America. They're not just a great replacement. God forbid they're arming these people and giving them the right to vote in our elections. I mean, this is some eugenics, modern day eugenics.
Okay. Well, Jake, that's what's going on. I will acknowledge the judge had a right to be about Stephanie's release to law enforcement of those materials was. It wouldn't surprise me that she walked into a bumpy hearing yesterday. Any judge would be curious about that. I don't know how he felt after he heard her explanation and whether he agrees that she had an ethical duty to or a legal duty to a court. But I don't know. Here we're coming into another election. If she's got clear evidence that they are having Serbia legal adjust machines in between the patient and other things, I guess, are attested to with this. Do you really sit until November? If it's going to take until November to get in all that work through the court system, I'm not so sure that a judge would be accurate to say that's what she should do.
I think a reasonable judge would see the ethical and moral responsibility that Stephanie had to report these things to the authorities, this election interference by Serbian nationals and hackers that have a
permissible back entrance, untraceable back entrance, to adjust the numbers in the Dominion voting systems is reprehensible. She absolutely had a duty to report these things, and I'm glad she did. And she's a hero for doing so. And we're rooting for Stephanie.
That being said, that's not, I think, what got her landed in jail. If that had landed her in jail, I would feel the judge, I'd be ready to criticize the judge. But that's not what landed her in jail. What landed her in jail is a bench warrant from a crooked judge prosecutor in Michigan. That's where the attention has to be placed.
Well, yeah, I mean, from these things, though, I mean, that's what they stem from. So, you know, I just look at the root issue here. Patrick, my brother, Godspeed.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to wrap up here. This is the Political Prisoner Podcast. You've heard an amazing update from Patrick Byrne, patriot, philanthropist, and great supporter, and new author of new book. Patrick, tell them where they can get your new book that just came out.
Danger Close, Domestic Extremist Number One Comes Clean. It's up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, wherever fine books are sold.
Danger Close, guys. Go ahead and order that. Take your time. Read through. Patrick already promised to send a few dozen to the January 6th gulags here so me and all the political prisoners can read them and get informed. I can't wait to read it, Patrick. God bless you, brother. And
take care, Jake. Be well.
Take care. Amen.